Father, thank you again for the opportunity to worship you, God, and to keep our heads above the waters, God, when we feel that we're sinking and drowning, whether in trials or in our sins or this or the hecticness of this world. And we'll know, Father, that we'll never drown, because, Father, you have the power to walk over waters, just like you did, Father, and Peter was just looking at you, God. And I pray that we could do the same, Father, not focus on the storm, but focus on you, God, and we're able to walk over them. And as we come right now, Father, to focus on your word, help us to understand it, help us to apply it to our lives. As D.L. Moody said, Father, that the Bible was not given for information, but for transformation. And I pray that you transform us every single day, that your word cuts deep to our hearts, and that we could be better representations of your kingdom, Father, because, Father, there's so much falseness out there, and there's so much evil, and God, Father, and you are coming soon, Father, but you've called us to be ambassadors. You call us to shine the light in darkest areas. So I pray that you help us, Father, to be the light in our lives. And we pray that your word just like that we just it just penetrates us and that we could understand it. Lord, I'm just your mouthpiece. Forgive me of my sins and my iniquities, for I know that I fall short. But I thank you for your grace, and I pray that you'll be able to help me speak this message clearly and precisely by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the opportunity, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. A few weeks ago, one of our members' lives was changed dramatically. And I know some of you are thinking, what happened? Actually, it's a good thing. And she's actually here, so you already know it's a female, but I said she. But my sister Sharon's life was changed dramatically. And a couple of weeks ago, if you did not notice, I know I noticed. Pretty sure you noticed. And you're saying, what happened to Sharon? Well, you know, she's leaving Don, so hallelujah. No, it's kidding. No, but, you know, he left, so I don't have to, like, worry about it. So, no. Her life was transformed because a couple of weeks ago, she got a nice gift that the Lord was able to give to her. And Sharon's now the owner of a brand new car, you know? You can clap, amen. You know, say, hey. Oh, no, Sharon, you better be clapping. So Sharon was able to buy a brand new car, and someone, I guess, kind of the car of your dreams, or more or less, it's kind of close, right? You know, Lamborghini's probably the next phase, but we're getting there, so baby steps. And she got a brand new car, you know, and for those who have the opportunity to maybe get a brand new car, or sort of a somewhat of a new car, it's a new experience, you know. So, you know, one of them, of course, is like that new car smell. Does it still smell new inside? Yeah, man. Don't you wish you could stay like that forever? but it doesn't, you know. And sometimes we wish that, you know, there's actually these things that they sell. I don't know. I've never seen them here, but I haven't really looked. It's called, like, you know how you have the car scents that you could buy with different scents? And actually, there's one that's called new car scent. And you get it, you try to spray it to give it, like, that new car smell, but there's nothing like that newness smell. But it's not the same. It's really like a cheap imitation. It doesn't have like that same effect like when you buy a new car. And of course, especially when you're coming from an older car, like she did, okay, and they still have it, they didn't trade it in, they still have it. But coming from an older car where, you remember back in the days when you had to change the radio station and it was those big, long, thick buttons that were like sticking out. They looked like a piano keyboard or something like that. You play with a piano on it and you press it like that and it clicked from one side and click to the other. Well, now you've got touch screen, you know, and you press the touch screen, and wow, that's marvelous. And yes, I'm not on. Okay, well, I'll just speak loud, no problem. What you may call it? So you remember those days where you had to press those things, and now you got touch screens. Remember those days, you know, where, you know, now you had to take out a map to find your directions. The big ones now. Well, now the car could come equipped with GPS. You didn't even have to, like, buy a GPS. The car actually comes with GPS. And actually, now, remember that TV show, Knight Rider? Yeah. We had, you know, David Hasselhoff, you know, I kind of look like him, you know, like, you know, scrappy looking, wearing black. I heard some laughing out back there. You better be careful. Okay, but remember like that? And you know, the car's name was Kit, and you talk to it, and it'll talk back to you. Who would have thought, right? When you saw those, when we saw it, remember, as a little kid, you see it, you're like, you know, wow, a talking car. I mean, that's never going to happen. Well, guess what? Now we got Kit, and now the car can talk to you, you know? Even though sometimes it can get annoying, you know, especially when it leads you in the wrong direction, it can get annoying. But we have that. You know, I don't know if your car talks or not. I haven't been able to experiment the new gizmos your car has. But there's nothing like that feeling of newness. You know, and Sharon's able to experience that because she came from an older car, an older model that was basically, I mean, wasn't like breaking down, but it was getting there, okay? And now she's in a reliable, secure, new, you know, automobile, which is, you know, just the experience of newness. Why am I talking about this? Because I want us to turn to Romans chapter 6 and read from verse 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4. And it says here in the Word of God, one more time, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. It says here, what shall we say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ who raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That we should walk in the newness of life. Do you guys hear me? Am I okay? Or do you need to use the microphone? Yes? No? You guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Sort of? Okay, I'll just use this. Here we go. Better, right? Okay. It says here that those who are in Christ walk in the newness of life. You know, those who have been baptized. And what it means is those who have given their lives to Christ. And just like Sharon, you know, experienced or is experiencing the newness of the car life, if you want to say it like that, and I'm sure like with joy, and I'm pretty sure now she wants to drive like from here to California, because you know when you get a new car, before when you drove your old car, you didn't want to drive it anywhere. When you get a new car, man, you want to drive it around the world 50 times. Because you want everybody to see your new car, and you know, and you don't get tired. You even want to drive it at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? So I'm going to call you. But because of the experience of the newness, the Bible says that when you give your life to Christ, you have a new life. You have a brand new life. And the stuff that you've lived from before and that old life is nothing compared to the newness that you have in life. And that's the reason why that's why we preach Jesus Christ. That's why we should give our lives to Jesus Christ. Because there's folks out there that are like in a jalopy. They're in an old vehicle. And some of them are comfortable in it. But if they keep riding in that vehicle, that motor is gonna give. It's gonna fall apart. And the beautiful thing is that God is giving us a brand new car in our lives. And that car is called Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then we should be walking in the newness of life. And if not, God's going to give you the opportunity to trade in that old vehicle that you have and have that and give you a new one, a brand new one with spanking new wheels and a new motor and a clean engine and a GPS that will guide you in your life and take you to the destination that God has for you. But today I want to talk briefly about what it is about the newness of life. What does it mean with that? What does it mean about that newness? Let's look at when you get into a brand new car, the first thing you start doing is you start experimenting with the car.
And you start looking at all the new features, like, oh, wow, you know, I could switch the radio station with a little button right here, or I could click this button and it'll talk to me. Let's talk about the new features that we get when you are in Jesus Christ. For example, one of them is that, one of the newness is that you don't walk with sin not having it holding on to you. In other words, you know what? Now sin does not have a grip on you. You know what it says here in the same book, Romans chapter 6, but jotting down to verse 16 and 17. Look what it says here. Same book, Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. It says here, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that through you were, though you were slaves of sin, yet obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. It says there that you were. See, before you were in Jesus Christ, when you were riding that old automobile, you were a slave to sin. You belong to somebody. You belong to the devil and you belong to sin. But now because of Jesus Christ, you've been set free. Because of Jesus Christ, now you're no longer a slave of sin. Sin does not have dominion over you unless you allow it. And that's another preaching for another day. Unless you allow it. But God has given you the choice from breaking those chains, from being a slave to sin, to guess what? Now being a slave of righteousness. You're brand new. And that's important to know, because guess what? Sin has an incredible ability to haunt you. Sin has the incredible ability to make you feel ashamed and to look back on your past and to tell you that you're nobody and to tell you you're not going to get through life and to tell you to live in fear and to live in darkness. But Jesus Christ says, you know what? You've been set free, and free indeed you have, because the truth sets you what? Free. And praise God for that. So one of the things of walking in the newness of life is that we no longer have to walk in sin. We no longer have to walk in sin. Another aspect of walking in the newness of life is that, guess what? You walk bearing fruit for his glory. Bearing fruit for his glory. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, I'm going to go rather quickly, so if you want, just write these verses down. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, it says here, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. And why does it say there, repentance? Because repentance means metanoi in Greek, which means changing of the mind. Because when you receive Jesus Christ, guess what? You're no longer walking or driving that old car. You're driving a new car. So when you're driving a new car, you come with a new mindset. You come with a new life. You come with a new perspective in life. And the Bible says here that when you're in Jesus Christ, you're going to bear fruit worthy of repentance, worthy of change. Why? Because people need to see that change in our lives. Because the Bible says that we are ambassadors, representatives of Jesus. And in order to represent, they need to see the change in our lives. They need to see Jesus in your life. They need to see Jesus in your mouth. They need to see Jesus in your feet. They need to see Jesus in your hands. They need to see Jesus in your workplace. They need to see Jesus in Somerset. They need to see Jesus in Buena Vista Baptist Church. Because we're called to be a light. But to be a light, we need to bear fruits. Fruits of what? Fruits of the Spirit of God. Fruits of love. Fruits of compassion. Fruits of forgiveness. These things that we don't see in the world. And unfortunately, it's trying to penetrate and infiltrate the church. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And that's why we need to be on guard. That's why we need to practice these things. Because if not, you know what's one of the biggest statistics they say? Why unbelievers don't come to Christ? Because unbelievers have said, they've said this, because you know what? We don't see the difference. When I go to church, it's like if I'm walking into work and I don't see the change. Actually, at work, they treat me better than they treat me at church. Man, that is a sad statement. But you know what? It's truth, though. And we cannot fall into that category. That's why John, the elder John in 1 John, he says, do not love the world. Do not be like the world, because the world has nothing to do with me. You got to be about the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and everything else shall be added onto your life. Everything else shall be added onto your family. Everything else shall be added into your workplace. Everything else shall be added onto to the church. But we got to seek his kingdom. We got to seek his kingdom. And that's why when you walk in the newness of life, you walk bearing fruit. Praise God. You're gonna be fruitful. Another thing is that when you walk with God, you know, another fruit is that you're gonna be able to walk with God. Walk with God instead of walking apart from Him. Because in your old vehicle, you were separated from God. You were distant from God. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in James chapter 4, verse 8, just write it down. This is definitely a highlighting verse. If you haven't highlighted it in your Bible, you need to highlight it. Because it says here, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Wow. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. The only reason why you're able to practice that is because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Because if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot apply that, because the first thing that you need is a Savior. But if you do have Jesus, guess what? It doesn't matter what time of day it is. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what state, what country, if you're in Pulaski County, Lincoln County, Paducah, wherever you're at. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can call upon the name of the Lord and He'll be there. And the only reason why you're able to say that is because you're able to walk in the newness of life. God's going to respond faster than any 911 call you could ever dial. Why? Because Jesus is there. Because you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. That's where you're able to say you're not able to be forsaken. Praise God for that. And when you walk, and I love this part. And another thing about walking in the newness of life, when you walk in the newness of life, it means that you walk empowered. And I say it like that. Empowered. Because let me tell you something, you're not just nobody. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something right now. You're just not anybody. You're not just a church member. You're not just a denominationalist or whatever you want to call yourself. You are a son of the living God. And you are empowered, my friend. The same power that was in Jesus, the same resurrection power. Hear me straight. The same resurrection power that was in Christ, that was with the disciples, is in you. And I cannot convince you to believe that. Only the Holy Spirit can, but I believe it. I definitely believe it because I'm a product of it. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Actually, I want to look it up for you right here real quick. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I really love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. It's my pastor's favorite verses. He always read it, and I can see why. Because there's truth to it. Just give me a second as I get there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says here, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think of, according to the power that works in us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could think of. According, there's a stipulation there. According to what? According to my strength. According to my knowledge. According to my doctrine. According to my tradition. No, according to the power that works in you. And what's that power that works in you? It's called the Holy Spirit. Because when you gave your life to Jesus, and He gave you that brand new car. He sealed you with a GPS, just like the new cars now. Got that GPS right there in that center console. God has put a GPS in your center console that's called your heart, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And nobody or no one can take that away. But you got to activate it. You see, a lot of these cars and gizmos, you have it there. You got it in your hand, or you're driving in it, and it's there. But you know why? But then they press the button and it's like, why isn't it working? What's going on? Why isn't it working? Here, I'll tell you why ain't it working. It's not working because you haven't activated it yet. And until you activate it, until you put the code in, until you press the power button, whatever it is you got to do to activate it, then it's going to start working. It's going to work to your benefit. And you know what? If you want to see God work in your life, you got to press the button. You got to press the button of the word. You got to press the button of prayer. You got to press the button of sharing the faith. You got to press the button of going out there and sharing the fruits of the gospel of Christ. You got to press the button because you're empowered. And let me tell you how you're empowered. You're empowered, as I said it before, you're empowered to pray. Folks, I don't know if you believe this, but I definitely do, because in the Bible says there's power in prayer. Because you want to know what Jesus did a lot? I encourage you. I'll challenge you theologically if you like to, but read the Gospels, read it, Matthew, God, Luke, you know, John and Mark, read them. And what do you think Jesus spent a lot of time before he did anything, before He started rebuking demons, before He started sharing the gospel, before He called out the disciples, before He even went to the crucifixion to die on the cross for our sins, what was Jesus doing? Here, let me help you. He was praying. And that's what the church needs to be doing. It needs to be praying. Before doing any activity, before doing anything else that needs to, for God's glory, we need to pray. We need to be praying. And I pray that Buena Vista could be a praying church. Praying individually is in your home. Praying corporately as the body of Christ. Praying. But that's a power. That's a tool. That's like a, you know, sometimes when I know Don's not here, but sometimes when Don goes out to get the commodities, the precious commodities that we get to enjoy it from, and then she comes with all these boxes. Sometimes Sharon goes, and sometimes Tracy goes, and she robs my biscuit, but that's okay. I still love you, my sister, but I have to throw that in. But he comes in, and sometimes we're trying to open the box, and we can't open the box. And then says we can't open the box, but then all of a sudden, here comes Don, and boom, he pulls it out of his pocket, bam, he pulls a pocket knife. And now, brother, put that away. You're trying to slay your pastor. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with, no, I don't do that. But he pulls out that pocket knife, and then all of a sudden, it's amazing. He easily starts cutting the boxes out, and we're able to get all those commodities so we could put it out there, and we could all enjoy it. Let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer is like a pocket knife that you carry with you. And when you feel like you can't open those boxes in life, those boxes of storms, those boxes of calamity, those boxes of problems, you take out that prayer knife right there, and it's able to cut through anything. And you're able to reap the benefits. You're able to reap the benefits because that's how God is. The power. And guess what? God has given you. You, children here, sons of God, daughters of God, the power of prayer. He's given you the power to declare his word and his promises. You know how that's important? I'll tell you how that's important. Because when you feel like you're alone, when you feel the storms are coming down, when you feel like there's no hope at all, you could declare God's word and say, you know what, God, I might be in this situation right now, but your word says that I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. You know why you're able to say that? Because you are declaring his word. And God has given us the authority and the power to declare it because it's right here, the word of God. And you're able to take it to it. You are empowered. You are empowered to declare his word. And so many other promises from God. The Bible says all his promises are what? Yes and amen. Declare even yes and then declare it. Amen. So don't give up hope. Don't give up hope because all his promises are yes and amen. You also have the power. This is so important, church. I believe the church has lost the effectiveness of this power. But you have the power of forgiveness. That is a lost word nowadays. Even in the church, and I hate saying that, but it's the truth. Because there's a lot of Christians walking with bitterness in their hearts. And let me tell you something. Until you don't get rid of it, you're going to walk with that, and you're going to walk with joy. And God's not going to be able to take you to the promised land because you keep walking that with it. Don't ask me. Ask the Israelites why were they in the desert for 40 years. I encourage you. Ask them. But God has given you the power to forgive. First, forgiveness on ourselves. You know why? Because we, even though we're in newness of life, sometimes we get some fender benders. Sometimes we get some scratches. Hopefully you don't get a fender bender, Sharon. I really pray not, but it could happen. And sometimes in life we're going to get fender benders. Sometimes in life we're going to sin and we're going to fall short. But you know what's amazing? In 1 John 1:8-9, it says there that God, if you confess to your mouth, Jesus is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And guess what? You know what the beautiful thing is? Is that if you messed up yesterday, you messed up today, tomorrow's a new day. And you can ask God for forgiveness and he'll forgive you. And isn't it great to know that you could walk tomorrow and even today forgiven? There's a lot. You know why people commit suicide? You know why people fall into addictions of drugs and all these other terrible addictions? The majority of them is because they walk with this guilt in their hearts. And there's nothing worse, in my opinion, to walking with guilt in your heart. Because why? Because they don't feel forgiven. That's why I love that song from Crowder. It says forgiveness, forgiven. And listen to the words. And we're forgiven. Praise God. And praise God that even though you messed up yesterday, whether what you say, whether what you watch, whether what you didn't do, God has the power to forgive you today. But let me tell you, there's a clause with that. Because the Bible says, The same that we receive forgiveness, we need to forgive others. Because let me tell you something. When you don't do that, you know what you're telling God? You're telling God, God, you know what? Your grace is not sufficient. It's limited. Because if we cannot forgive our brothers and sisters or forgive others, then how can we receive that forgiveness ourselves? Sounds like hypocrisy. And God calls us to forgive. God has given us the power of God's protection. Do you know that when you walk outside these doors today, wherever it is that you go, you walk protected? Do you know that? You walk with God. You don't walk alone. You don't go alone. God is so good that he even sends his security guards. The Bible says in Hebrews that we have guardian angels. Do you know that you have a guardian angel? Did you know that? Book of Hebrews talks about that. You have a guardian angel that watches over you. Watches over your life. So we have God's protection. I love what it says here in 2 Corinthians 10:4. If you want, you can just write it down. It says here, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Let me tell you something. You don't want to face a demon. You don't want to face the devil. Okay? Because you will not win. If you notice how the world's turning, you could tell that the devil's winning. And the only reason why the devil can't touch you, the only reason why the demons can touch you, and let me tell you something, they are very real, okay? People don't like talking about spiritual warfare because they think it's fantasy. It's not fantasy. It's in the Bible. It's real. But you know the reason why the devil and the demons can't touch you? You know why? Because they see God's protection over you. They need to ask God permission first because you're protected. You have the power of God's protection. You know, when you walk in the newness of life, you also walk with a new sense and purpose. That's so important. People in life, you know, there's a lot of those like TV shows. I'm not really like into that and whatever, like all those like zombie things, like Walking Dead and all that kind of stuff. What is a zombie, you know? A zombie is a creature, or a living creature that appears to be alive, but it's really dead. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of zombies out there. Yeah. Because there's a lot of people that are walking and appear to be alive, but inside, they're dead. They're dead in their sins. They're dead in their walk with God because they have no walk with God. And God has called us to share life. He came to give life and life abundantly, Jesus. But there's people that are walking dead. But when you came to Christ, you were dead to sin, but now you are alive to Jesus. And guess what? When you're alive to Jesus, now you're walking with purpose. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. God wants to use you. God gives you talents. And let me tell you something, God wants to use all of you. And when God wants to use you, see, we kind of narrow it down thinking that being used by God, okay, well, God wants you to be a pastor. No. There are so many opportunities to serve God. And it's not just in the pastorate or in the deaconship or in the teacher. Yes, we need folks like that, but God wants to use you whether as a nurse, as an accountant, as a doctor, as a whatever it is, whatever occupation, wherever that you're at, a mechanic, whatever it is, as a Sunday school teacher, as a children's worker, as a youth worker, as an administrative person. I mean, there's so much to do for the kingdom of God, and God wants to use you, whether musically, I could just go on and on. And you know who gives that to you? God does. I know the majority know. You know, most of you guys know that I play the piano. You know when I started to play the piano? Do you think I started to play the piano when I came out of my mother's womb? I got a mom right here, so she'll testify to you. And she'll testify to you that throughout my young life and my teenage life, and then I didn't know how to play the piano. I didn't. Do you know when it came? 2 years after I got saved. Started playing in 1998 through some friends and some people that were helping to give. But who put that there? It's not mine. It's not my talent. It's God's talent. And God's giving you talents. And this is a little rabbit trail. I know I'm taking a little bit, but this is a little rabbit trail. Do you remember the parable of the talents? And one day we're going to preach about it. One day the Bible says that, you know, Jesus gave one to five, one to three, and one to one. And the one that had five, he invested in it. The one that had three, he invested in it. But the one that had one kept it to himself. And didn't do anything with that talent. And what did the master say to him? He said to him, you are a wicked servant. Man, that is harsh. Let me tell you something. If God is giving you a talent and you're not using it for his glory, Let the word of God speak to you. It says they're wicked servant. He's given it to you so you can use it, not to sit pretty with it, not to look at it as like a trophy case. Oh, look at that. Look at this. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that nice? No. It's not nice. It's only nice when you use it for his glory. And God has given these talents, walking in the newness of life. So he gives us perspective in life. He gives us new hope. He wants us, in walking in the newness of life means that we walk in appreciation for what Christ did for us. And what did he do? He died for us. That's why everywhere we go, especially when we come to the house of the Lord, we should come in appreciation. We should come with a smile on our face. And I'm preaching, I'm not just preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to myself, because I know how that is, because it's hard sometimes when you're going through trials. And you don't want to, but guess what? That's the devil working. And he doesn't want that. And you know what? We should be the most joyous people in the world. But Brother Isman, look at this problem here. But Brother Isman, look at this problem there. And Brother Isman there. You know what? Stop looking at the problem and start looking at Jesus. And you're going to see how you're going to stop frowning and start smiling. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. God bless you. Today's a new day. But look at the problem. I ain't looking at the problem. I'm looking at Jesus. That's what we need to do. And I pray that we all do. But we need to walk with an appreciation of what Christ did for us. We also need to walk also, and this is a tough one, but it's the truth, taking our cross daily. Do you know what Galatians 2:20 says? Galatians 2:20 says here, I know it by memory, but I just want to read it to you. It says here, for I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. So when you walk in the newness of life, guess what? Now you don't walk according to how you want to. Now you walk according to how Jesus tells you. And I know that for some people that sounds a little bit conflictive, because like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm my own person. Tell that to Jesus. Because when you give yourself your life to Christ, notice the word that I'm saying. What you're saying is, it's no longer about me, Jesus. Now it's all about you. But doing that means, notice it says there, for I have been what? Crucified with Christ. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have a good time when he was being crucified? Was he like happy? Was he like, oh my gosh, this feels great. Gosh, I love walking in because no, he was in pain, utter pain. He was spit at, mocked, rebuked, crown of thorns, you know, whipped in his back. And the thing is, Jesus didn't do anything. It wasn't because he was a criminal. It wasn't because, you know, he had stolen something or committed adultery or anything like that. Jesus didn't do anything. In fact, actually what Jesus did was be God. He was declaring who he was. But why did he do it? So we could be saved. And here's like a little rabbit's trail. When we want to do things for the Lord, we're going to have to die to self. We're going to have to die to comfort. We're going to have to die to our thinking. We're going to have to die to our matter of ways. And whatever you want to put there, I could put a long list there. Because it's not about you anymore. It's not about me. It's about him. But it's gonna cost. I always said this: salvation is free, but the works of Christ. The Bible says that, you know, that faith without works is what? The word of God, James. And then also, always to kind of wrap it up, it said, you know, and this is beautiful. When you walk in the newness of life, guess what? You don't walk alone. And I'm not just talking about God. Obviously, God goes with you. But I want everybody here to look around. Look around you. Look to your left. Look. No more. Look to your right. You see something? I think you do. You see other people. Those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's your family. That's your family. Do you see them as your family? Let me tell you something. It might be a little bit, you know, strong, but it's truth. If you can't get along with your brother and sister, that's whether to your left, to your right, here on earth, what makes you think? What do you think about heaven? Because you're gonna see them for eternity. You're going to see them forever. But God is giving us the opportunity to practice it here. And it's so beautiful to know that guess what? You don't walk this life alone. That's why we come to church. That's what church is all about, folks. Guys, church is not a building. This is a sanctuary. We gather together to worship God. We are the church, the body of Christ. And yes, sometimes in the body of Christ, are we going to offend each other? Yep. Are we going to say things maybe that we shouldn't have? Yep. Are things going to go how you plan and think? Nope, they're not going to go. Because here's another little side question here I want to ask. Imagine if the church was filled with 100 of you, 100 of you. What kind of church would it be? Be careful how you answer that. What kind of church would it be if there was 100 members of you? Because you know why? We're all wired differently. We all grew up differently. We all have different, obviously, parents, but we got the same father. We have different likes, dislikes. And you don't think that Jesus didn't plan that ahead? That's why he tells the disciples, love each other, forgive each other. Because the way that you love each other is how the world's going to see me. That's how the world's going to see me. So if the world sees a divided church or Christians that are divisive about each other, that they're battling each other, they're on their face with each other, they're making fun of each other and this and that, you think the world is going to see God through that? And I include myself in the mix. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself too. But praise God that in walking in the newness of life, he allows us to be, he gives us a family in Christ. That even though they're not their real blood family, we're all washed by the blood of Jesus. So when one is down, it's not to be like, ha ha ha, you see, you got what you deserve, you evil deacon. I know I'm talking about the deacons. No. Brother, what can I do to help you? Are you okay? Well, come on, let's get down here. Let's pray, man. Come on. It's okay. It's okay, man. It's okay. Listen, I forgive you. But what I said behind you, I don't care. With Estes back there, let's run to Jesus. That's what the church needs to be doing. That's what we need to be doing. To close, as we get ready for our baptism. All this would not be possible without the union of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:9 says, it's a beautiful verse, another highlighting verse. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Hear this closely. That we might live through him. That we might live through him. You want to know what life is? That's why we need Jesus. Because no Jesus, no life. Jesus, you have life. And John 10:10, my favorite verse, life abundantly. And that's what today's baptism is so important. Because we're not just going to be talking about Sasha and Aaron that are dedicating themselves to baptism. No, this involves you too. Even though you might have been baptized already. But we're talking about the newness of life. And are you walking in the newness of life? Remember the verse that we read in Romans chapter 6? It says that we ought to. It says ought. That means that tells me that there's some that are going to be walking in that newness of life. But there's some that are not walking in the newness of life. And you could lie to me. And it doesn't matter I'll be hurt, but it doesn't matter if you lie to me. You could lie to the deacons. You could lie to the teachers. You could lie to but you can't lie to God. You can't lie to God. And God knows in your heart if you're walking in the newness of life. And that's why we're celebrating this baptism today, because baptism is an outward expression of what God has already done internally. Of what God has already done internally. In other words, baptism has nothing to do with salvation or cleansing, or being cleansed. What I mean by that, you don't have to be baptized to be saved or to be cleansed from your sins. Because, for example, those who are married here, Okay, and just hold on when I say this. You don't need a wedding ring to declare that you're married. You don't. Because when you get married, you did it to each other, you did it in faith in front of the minister, and then here and there you sign a court paper that says that you're married. And baptism does not declare salvation. But what it does declare was the moment that you accepted Christ as Savior. So why wear the wedding ring, folks? The reason why you wear that wedding ring is because the wedding ring is an outward symbol that declares or tells the world that you belong to somebody. That person is untouchable. That person, whether it's a wife, belongs to a husband, and if it's a husband, it belongs to the wife. And when they see that ring, they're like telling the world, hey, you can't touch that because that belongs to somebody. Baptism is the symbol that tells the world, hey, I belong to somebody. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to sin. I belong to Jesus. And that was done the moment that that person received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's why we rejoice today with Sasha and Aaron, because they had already declared their faith in Jesus Christ. And today, with the witnesses in front of the Lord, they're going to declare, they're committing themselves, saying, I don't belong to the world, I belong to Jesus. So I'm going to ask them to go to the back right now and get prepared and changed. And as we continue in a spirit of prayer, I would like us to stand. I would like us to stand. And as Sasha and Aaron go back there, and thank you, Baptism Committee, for helping out as they go back there to change. I want us to be in a spirit of prayer. And then later on, I'm going to ask our choir to come up in just a second and lead us into worship. And Sylvia, don't forget to give Jennifer or somebody the controller. Okay. But I want us just to close our eyes just for a second and be in a spirit of prayer. And I want to address myself to two types of characters this morning. First character I want to address to is to maybe somebody here that hasn't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is driving that old vehicle, and you haven't really driven the, you don't have that new vehicle, but you want it, and God is trying to tell you, hey, I wanna give you a new car, because I wanna take you to places that you've never seen, and I want you to get rid of those old tires and that old oil, and get a new oil change, and driving this new vehicle where I'll be able to take you to places you've never thought of. Man, I wanna use you. I want to take you to heaven, because the first step about salvation is understanding that, you know, there's a hell and there's a heaven. And Jesus Christ died for our sins so that way you could be written in the book of life, so that way you don't have to spend eternity. Because one day we're all going to die. All of us are going to die. And you need to ask yourself a question. Where are you going to spend eternity? And let me tell you something. Spending eternity, being in the book of life, has nothing to do about being religious. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of religious people in hell. There are. Because it has nothing to do about religion. It has nothing to do about denomination. Or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Pentecostal, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Mormon. That's not what Jesus says about being written in the book of life. The only way that you're going to be able to go to heaven is if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. So for those here, maybe that have never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, or maybe you thought you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you're looking at your life, you say, man, I'm not walking in the newness of life. Because that's how you'll be able to know. Because the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And what fruits are you bearing? But I want to tell you something, my friend. If that's you right here today, if that's you, there's a new hope. God is saying, hey, I want to trade in that old vehicle you have. Bring it over here into my kingdom dealership. And I'm going to give you a brand new car. No questions asked and free. So if that's you, and you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do this prayer with me. Why this prayer? Because the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. So it's a declaration of faith saying, Jesus, I put my life and my hand and my heart in your hands. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you want to do so right now, I want to encourage you to pray with me this prayer right now and say this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. And I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and as my Savior in faith, wiping away all my sins and all my shame and all my iniquities, and receiving the brand new life in you of forgiveness, of prayer, of salvation, of eternal life. I receive it in faith in Jesus' name. And with all eyes closed and heads bowed down, but I just want to do this as minister of the gospel and make sure that nobody leaves here with a question mark in their heart. But if anybody here did that prayer and you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, can you please raise your hand where you're at? Because we just want to pray for you. Did anybody here accept Jesus? There's no shame. There's no, you don't have to feel, you know, we're here to love you. We're here to encourage you. And if not, we're going to move on, and that's okay. And to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have him in your heart, but be honest, be truthful to God. Are you walking in the newness of life? Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. If you haven't, it's okay, because today could be a brand new day. I'll confess to you, listen, I'm a pastor. You know, I've been a believer for some time, and let me tell you something, I have messed up. But today is a new day, and I'm walking in the newness of life today and tomorrow. So if there's any believer here that says, Pastor, you know what? I want to walk in that newness. I haven't been walking in the newness of life, but I want to ask God for help so I can start walking in the life that he's called me to walk. If that's you and you need prayer, please raise your hand, because I want to pray for you right now. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Says, Pastor, you're saying, God, I want to walk in the newness of life. Help me. Help me, God. Is there anybody else here? Anybody else here? God bless you. Father, as we get ready for our baptismal service, we want to thank you, Father, for your message today and what it is to walk in the newness of life. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, we're not that old stuff anymore. We're not that old car, that old beat-up car that's just breaking down. The tires are falling, and it's just losing wind, God, Father. But, Father, you want to give us that new vehicle in our lives, Jesus. And thank you for giving it to us today, Father God. But I pray, God, Father, that sometimes we need an oil change, or sometimes we need to put our new tires in, Father, because the tires are worn out. And if we keep running in them, they're going to explode and hit the curve. And Father, I just pray, God, for all those who raised their hands, and maybe some here that Father wanted to, but in their heart they're feeling maybe distant from you, or they're not really walking in the newness of life. The newness of the power of prayer, the power of forgiveness, the power of your Holy Spirit to guide us and give us direction in our lives, God. Father, help us, O Lord, to walk in that newness, God. Help us to be joyous Christians, God. To not pay attention to the circumstances, God, that we so easily, and I fail in this too, God, that we easily sometimes fail, God, but help us to stay focused on Christ. To stay focused, Father, on the new adventures and new promises that you have for us, God. Because you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we ask you that you lead us and that you continue to do great and mighty things in our lives, in our church, in our community. Because, Father, we feel the time is coming soon, that you're coming again, and we want to be faithful to you. Let us walk brand new, God. Let us walk like if we're smelling a new scent of car smell, God. New scent of Christianism, and Father, in our lives. Of Christianity, God. Where we're just excited, Father. Joyous to be called your children, God. Thank you again for Sasha and Aaron, God. As right now, we're going to be able to witness what you're going to, their commitment to you, God. Thank you, Father, that there's lives that are consecrating themselves to you. We love you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.